Well, I'm Brett, pastor here at Spring Hills, and I want to welcome you, all of you, some of you visiting today, and so good that you're here. We'll have a message that I hope is going to encourage you in the light of the week we've had. Some of you have lost your homes. Raise your hand if you lost everything. Boy, a lot of you. A lot of you have lost everything. Raise your hand if you're, obviously you're displaced, but others of you who are displaced right now, just staying different places, raise your hand up high. Okay, a lot of you. God's going to get us through this. He's going to use this in amazing ways. I'm praying that your heart will be encouraged today so that we can keep our hearts tender before God. He's going to do some things in our midst, in our lives, in this community that are going to be truly, truly Him. He knew about the fire. He knew about this stuff. This isn't a like God waking up and saying, oh my goodness, what are we going to do now? You know, it's not one of those. And He's going to use it. He's going to use it in your life. And He's going to use it in our community. So my prayer is that your heart can stay tender towards God and hear from Him and be able to see. Because you're never going to be the same. I mean, we are sharing in a historic moment, infamous as it is, but a historic moment together in Sonoma County. Probably never be another one like this. Lord willing, there never will be. The Tubbs fire, you know, the great Sonoma County fires. And what we saw God do in our lives, in our community, and all. So I'm going to encourage you today. We did lose someone in our church, Christina Hansen. Maybe some of you saw Christina's picture in the news reports and all of that. Christina, we have some here. She sat right there at the 11:15 service. Actually, she was in her wheelchair. She was born with spina bifida, so she was in a wheelchair her entire life. And she sat over there, and at 11:15, she'd have her hand out and just worshiping God. See her there? And I go over there, and I'd always, every time I walk by, I just give her five right on her hand. And she is free. You know, she's lived the whole life. She's with the Lord. We need to just rejoice in that part of it. She's with the Lord, dancing with Him, free, free. And there'll be a great reunion with Christina. And that's the hope of the resurrection, such a great hope. So do be praying for her family or friends are just really taking this, obviously, hard. We all are. But I want to give you today, I want to give you what I'm calling a Sonoma County fire, fires, a declaration. Okay, I'm going to give you a declaration. We're in a series that we're taking a break from. Our series is Spiritual Depression, although it probably would have been great to just keep that going, I understand, today. But I'm gonna take a break, obviously today to give you this message, and then and maybe next week too. I don't know. We're just playing it by ear. Our home was spared. We live right on the edge of Coffee Park. We're right over there, so we can't get in. A lot of you can't get into your homes, but we can't get in yet. Five houses to the east of us, towards Cole's department store. Five houses after the fifth house, it's gone. And same way to the south of us, five houses, and it's totally gone. I woke up at 2 a.m. from the winds. The wind was just, 60 miles an hour plus. And I woke up and I was like, what the heck is going on? I thought a tree was going to fall into our house. And so I went outside to let our umbrella down. You know, smart me leaving the umbrella up. But I went outside and I saw, looking towards the Coles way, I saw kind of a little glow, and I heard just explosions going off. So I checked my phone, and Santa Rosa had sent out a advisory. The advisory said it was, I think it was 2:05 in the morning that they sent it out, or somewhere in there. Advisory that there was a fire at Coles, and that the following streets need to evacuate and to get out because of the fire. Our street was not listed, but it was there to get out. And so I went in, and I woke up Eve, and I said, hey, I think we may need to do something. You know, the great leader that I am. You know, I was like, well, hey, honey, get up. So she went outside. She went out front, and all our neighbors were leaving. I was like, where are you going? We're evacuating. And so our neighbor next door to us, who's elderly, we have a key to her house. So we went over and opened the door and woke her up. Thankfully, her brother was there, and they were able to get out. And so when we came back the next day, Can't get in there now. Came back the next day. Just a little pocket of homes right there. And so we want to just use our home to help you and to help our church, help our community. So God's going to work. God's going to work in some amazing ways. Let me give you a declaration, okay? And at the end of this, we're going to declare it together. But a Sonoma County Fires declaration. Here's the first part of the declaration. We will take it one day at a time. Okay? We're just going to take this whole thing now, one day at a time. We're not going to take tomorrow and the next day. We got today, right? We're going to take today. Jesus said it in Matthew 6:34. He said this, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow." Now, the context of this verse is Jesus' famous sermon in which he tells us to not worry about anything. To not worry about anything. That we are to realize that he is the Heavenly Father who feeds the birds, who clothes the lilies of the field. He is your Heavenly Father who knows everything you need. He knows your needs right now. He knows your need for a place. He knows your need for, you know, rebuilding. He knows your need for clothes. He knows your need for furniture. He knows every need, insurance settlements. He knows all this stuff. God knows your needs. So in the context, if God cares for the birds and the lilies of the field and he knows your needs, he will take care of you. You're much more valuable to him than birds. You're much more valuable to him than the lilies of the field, even though he feeds the birds and clothes the lilies. You're much more valuable. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. Now, the word worry, very interesting Greek word here that's translated worry. The original Greek word in the Greek text means to take no anxious thought for. It's a word about thinking. Don't be divided in your mind. In other words, another way to put it, don't take anxious thought or don't have your mind racing forward would be the idea. Jesus is not saying to us that we shouldn't plan for tomorrow. He's not saying that. He's not talking about that we shouldn't have forethought. We should have forethought. And I know we're having to think, okay, where are we going to be tomorrow, right? Where are we going to live after next week? Whatever the case might be. He's not saying that we shouldn't have forethought or planning. He's saying this, and listen to me here. Don't have anxious thought. There's a big difference. Don't have your mind racing, you know, getting ahead of yourself. Preoccupied, which means to occupy a place before you get there. Don't have that. Don't worry. Don't let your mind be anxious. Are you anxious right now? I know some of you are anxious. You're real anxious about the future and about how it's all going to work out. And I just want to tell you, in this message, I just want to encourage you. I want you to know that God knows what you're anxious about, and he's going to provide for you. His name, his promise, his character, all of it, he's going to provide for you. Stop being anxious about it. Now, let's just take today. What do we have today? We got today. We just had breakfast. Praise the Lord. It's great breakfast. Thanks to our breakfast team. We got here at 6 o'clock. We just had breakfast. Today, you can encourage somebody. Today. Today, you can pray for somebody today. We have today. You can build somebody up. You can reach out to somebody today. I mean, you can be aware of God's presence in your life, and you can praise him and thank him as we just did today. We have this day. Jesus says, don't grab tomorrow's worries. Let it be tomorrow. If you grab tomorrow's worries and carry them today, then the load's going to be too much. We're just going to take it, everybody, one day at a time. Okay, one day at a time. God's gonna provide for us. We are staying at Shen. That's what we call them. Jen and Sean. Okay, Jen and Sean Winardi's. We're at their house, and God provided that their house for us. Here's the story. Jen, who's on our staff, she's pregnant. Okay. She's due like yesterday. They didn't want to be here with all the smoke and the advisories and Sutter Hospital being closed, which is their hospital. So they've gone down to Redwood City in the Bay Area, and they're all set up down there, and they're going to have the baby at Sequoia Hospital, which just so happens to be a Sutter Hospital. But they're going to go down there and have the baby there. So we have their house. And it's nicer than our house. I mean, it's got air conditioning. There's tons of food in there. And the first night, we had about 16 of us. And that wasn't working out too well. But somebody got to go back to their own house, and others got back, and so we're there. Okay? After that, once the baby's born, you know, so pray about that. You need timing on the baby, right? The baby's born and they come back. Like, we're not planning like to be there with the baby there, you know? God's going to provide for us. We're just taking it one day at a time. We may be at your house. You know? God may lead us to your house. Like, I'm seeing some thumbs up. All right. Hey, Rodriguez, says you already have 2-3 families at your house. Are you getting rid of some? We can come? All right.
We have a vacancy.
Yeah. So can we do that? Can we just take it one day at a time? All right, let's not worry about tomorrow. All right, God's got tomorrow. God's already got, he knows tomorrow. He's already in, he's not bound by time. Second declaration, we will not fear. You say, oh, there's a lot to be afraid about. I hear the sirens. You know, I'm like you, I'm watching the news. I'm glued to the news. It's driving me crazy, you know. Once you start seeing the same story 3 times, you know, it's time to back off the news. But the news, and I hear the sirens, and I hear the super tankers flying over just constantly. And you know what, though? We're going to declare we're not going to fear. And based on this passage this morning, Psalm 46, God is. Notice the present tense. Doesn't say God might be or God was. God is right now, is what the psalmist is saying. And in your heart and mind, you just gotta say that God is. He is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, what? We will not fear. I mean, the presence of God, listen to me here, the presence of God is the absence of fear. God is with us, and I'll give you that point in just a minute to reinforce it here. Refuge, he's our shelter. He's our place of safety. He's a place of escape. Moses told the people of God in Deuteronomy 33:27, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Refuge, strength. Strength for you to be able to do what you need to do. Now, he's going to give you strength. He is your strength. He's your strength to help you to do what you have to do, to not give up, to keep from sinking emotionally. Notice what it says here, that he is a present help in trouble. No, it says he is a what? A very, a very present help in time of trouble. So we will not give place to fear at all. You know, fear knocked on the door, faith answered, and there was nobody there. I love that. God is with us. The absence of fear, the way to deal with fear is you just need to find something greater than your fear to hang on to. Do you know of somebody greater than your fear? I do. Our great God, who is a refuge, a place of shelter and strength, and a very present help in trouble. All through the scripture, we're told not to fear, not to fear. Not to fear, not to fear. And we're not going to fear. Because we're going to see the hand of God. You're going to see it in your life like you've never seen it before. This is the amazing thing about this experience, everybody, is our faith, all of our faith is going to grow. It's going to grow. And the reason it's going to grow is because we're going to see verses, promises like this to be absolutely true. I'm already hearing the stories. I was hearing stories 1 day into it, 2 days into it. God's provision. People that came along, financial resources, things that have come up that they didn't know about, and help coming from places that unexpected help. God is going to do far more than we can even imagine through this. And you're going to be a different person because you're going to know God better. You know, we started the church 25 years ago, and I'm so thankful that we have our church. Kiki mentioned that. I mean, that fire came this way. You know, I was thinking to myself, well, at least the embers can't get through this metal, you know? And then I was over Coffee Park, and I mean, literally, there were cars that were just molten on the ground. It would have just taken this place down. But when we started this church 25 years ago, there was nothing. We had no place to meet. We had no people. We had no money. We had nothing. And the Lord provided everything. And we saw His hand so vividly because that's all we had was Him. And so you see it. We sort of get used to our life, and God is working and God is doing things. But we don't notice it because we're just sort of going on with our routine. And we noticed it big time in the beginning of the church and all throughout, and certainly when we moved over here and were able to purchase this property and use permits and build outs and all that stuff. I mean, it was like, we need you, God. We need you. And God just was faithful over and over again. It's going to be the same way in your life. And I want you to be watching. I want you to be watching and writing down and sharing. All right. But we will not fear. Third declaration. We will see this through together. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, the word burden here describes an excessive weight. Excessive weight. I mean, we're to bear the burdens of our own life, certainly. But when it comes to excessive weights, we're to bear one of those burdens. If you see an elderly person carrying a heavy piece of luggage and barely being able to move it along, what do? That's an excessive weight. You go help bear that burden. And the scripture tells us to do that. And some of you have burdens that you're just bearing. It's too much. You need help. I mean, you need help to sort out the insurance papers if you lost your home, and help on where the resources are, just comfort and encouragement. By the way, somebody start a group for us of people that have lost their homes. Start a group and so you can meet together and share info and just encourage each other with resources, would you? Somebody out there? Just get a group going so we can announce it that everybody's lost their home. You can go and talk about it. So we can bear these burdens and you're not alone. And the whole process of that can be together. Burdens, excessive weights. If you do that, if we do this, then we're fulfilling the law of Christ. And what is the law of Christ? The law of Christ, as it's described in the New Testament, is the law of love. Jesus told His disciples, a new commandment I give to you. Do you love one another as I've loved you? The whole Old Testament law could be summarized in this one statement. Love your neighbor as yourself. We're to bear our burdens, bear one another's burdens. One another. You bear help bear my burden, I help bear your burden. One another. We can't bear burdens if we don't know what the burdens are. And that's why on the website, as we said, what needs do you have? Write them down. And we'll see if we can't help match them up with people that can meet them. But let's have this, the mindset, we're just going to bear one another's burdens. So one way the church is doing this, and I think Kiki mentioned it, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Okay? We're going to go all next week. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. 8:30, 12:30. Do I have this right, everybody? 5:30? Okay, 8:30, 12:30, 5:30. Come on over. I mean, hey, man, our whole family, we're just eating here, you know? It's a great place to eat. come on over. John Ash gave us dinner last week. Kendall Jackson gave us dinner twice. You're missing out, all right? But come over, and here's the deal. You have a meal, and we have tables in here and out there, and you sit down and you share stories. You just talk, you know? That's how we're bearing one another's burdens, providing fellowship, encouragement that way. And this childcare thing is, Catherine Krulish, our children's director, was interviewed on KZST yesterday about this. Okay, so we may need you tomorrow, just so you know. Okay, this childcare thing. We're trying to bear burdens as they come up. You know, people have brought clothes and we're like, no, take that. I mean, I got this shirt. It's clean. I got one other one. I'm good. But there are backpacks that have come in and kids need that for school. So we're just bearing one another's burdens as they come to light. And we're to do that. And we will see this through. How? Together. Nobody's going to see this through by themselves. Nobody. Nobody's lost their home is going to go through that by themselves. Nobody who needs support with their child care is going to go through that by themselves. No. Nobody who's suffering for whatever need there is going to go through it alone. We're going to go through it all together. It's called the community, God's community of faith, the family of God. Fourthly, we'll remember, and this is really important, that God is what? With us. He's with us. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, the Lord says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So we can what? Confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I will never leave you or forsake you. The presence of God. He's with us. Moses said to the people of God when they were getting ready to enter the promised land, he says to God, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. They're going to the promised land. If your presence doesn't go with us, don't send us up. We're not going unless you're going. Jesus told his disciples after giving the Great Commission, you know, to go into all the world and tell the good news, baptizing believers in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them. He gives this great commission to his disciples after his ascension, or right before his ascension to heaven. And then he says, at the end of that great commission, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I won't leave you as orphans, he told them. I'll be with you. My Holy Spirit will be with you. From the beginning of the church, from the very beginning of the church, the confidence I've had to keep going is this promise right here. The Lord's with us. Every weekend, every decision, you know, every step of faith, he's with us. He's in our homes. He's in the boardroom. He's in your car. He's in your office. He's in at your home. He's with you, and he will not leave you, and he won't forsake you. And we need to hold on to this incredible promise. I have been, maybe like some of you, I've been asking the question all week, why? I mean, when I woke up in 60-mile-an-hour winds, it's like, what's the chances of this? The night of fire is rolling down Fountain Grove. And it jumps six lanes plus a freeway and takes out, you know, Applebee's and Kmart and all that and just comes right into our neighborhood and blows it out. I mean, what are the chances, right? You think, you know, okay, Hidden Valley Fire and all that. Lake County, that's one thing. But I mean, Coffee Park, Fountain Grove, Inn, Hilton. So I'm like, why? Why? And I would be remiss if I tried to give you the answer right now. But believe me, in my mind, you know, not the greatest of all minds that have ever lived, but in my theological mind, I've got five or six reasons for this. Spiritually now. I'm not talking about climate change. Okay? Let's talk about spiritual reasons why God in his sovereignty allowed us, about five or six reasons. And let me just put it to you this way. They're all good. Okay? But I'm going to tell you this. You don't need an answer. You don't need an explanation right now. You need a promise. Okay? You need these promises. You can have an explanation. It wouldn't help you. You wouldn't even understand it. You may not even grasp it. You will later. You will. You're gonna see what God does. In your own life, what he does in your life. You're going to see what he does in the community here, Sonoma County, and what he does in the life of our church, in the life of the churches of Sonoma County. I mean, it's just like it's big. People are going to come to Christ as their Savior through this. People are going to realize that, you know, life is, they're not as much control as they thought over anything, and they need God. And they will come to him. And that'll make a difference for eternity for them. But I just give you this idea. You don't need an explanation. You need a promise. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Let me illustrate it this way. If you broke your leg and you went to the doctor and he gave you an explanation like, oh yeah, you broke your leg. Here's your explanation for why you're in such pain. Does that help you? What if he gives you a promise? In 8 weeks, you're going to be just fine. You're going to be running again in 8 weeks. You need a promise. You kind of go crazy with all the trying to figure all this out. Don't. As Kiki mentioned in the opening statement, God is good. He's good. He's doing things. All right, but he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. That is one of our declarations here this morning. And here's the fifth one. We will celebrate God's miracles. Now to him, it says in Ephesians 3:20 in the New Testament, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. Now to him, and the verse goes on, be praise and honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now to him, I want you to focus on the middle part here. Now to him who is able to do, notice, far more abundantly than all we ask or think. How much can God do in this? He can do far more abundantly. That's interesting English, isn't it? It's like, what the heck is that? That's translating a Greek word that the Apostle Paul uses here. One word in Greek, you know, three words here in English, far more abundantly. One word in Greek that was coined by the Apostle Paul to take the ability, what God can do, to the super superlative. One translation would put it this way, infinitely more. You know what superlatives are. We have big, bigger, and then biggest, biggest being the superlative. Right? We have high, higher, and highest. That's the superlative. What's the superlative for God's ability? Great, greater, and greatest? No. Paul says it is far more abundantly. It is infinitely more. Here it is. Here's the superlative. Infinitely more than you could ask or think. One other translation. Ask or imagine. What could you imagine that God can do? I mean, just like, what could God do through this in your life? In the community, oh, what could you imagine, think of God doing? Well, you got it? God can do far more, infinitely more than you're even thinking right. Infinitely more. Super superlative. There is no comparison. So is anything impossible for God? Possible. No, nothing's impossible for God. One of the ways your faith is going to grow is you're going to see this. And I just love, that's why we need to be together, you know, come to dinner, come to lunch, let's talk, come to breakfast, let's just share stories. To hear this, how God's providing for you. And remember, we're just looking for day to day, right? We're not worried about tomorrow. We don't have time for that. We're just taking in today as God provides for us. I mean, it was pretty cold this morning, wasn't it? It's kind of cold this morning. We had a breakfast and of course, you know, I got to show up, you know, for these things. Just kidding. Sounds terrible. My attitude. I may talk about the grief process through this next week. I'm thinking about it. Because I find that I do really good and then I get cranky. Are you finding that out? I mean, I don't know. But this is a good thing I'm going to share here. I came to this morning for breakfast. And it was really cold. But last night, my sister-in-law gave me a brand new jacket. Okay, that was new and it was for my father-in-law who doesn't need it. So she brought it. She says, here, do you need this? Well, you know, I mean, we're like you guys who got out. We just clothes and the Winardis where we're staying have great washer, dryer, hot water. So yeah, it's all clean stuff. But no jacket. They gave me one last night. This morning, got out to go come here, and it's so cold, I just rip it open. I had a little package. Nice! Thank you, God, today. Okay? It's going to get warm. It's going to get warm this afternoon, right? The Winardi's got air conditioning. Sweet! Sean and Jen, when you listen to this message, we just thank you. The whole church thanks you for providing for us. And we're sorry that your electric bill is so high. And that the food is gone. Now to Him be praise and glory. We're going to celebrate God's miracles. We're going to have a worship service. Maybe it'll be in a month because we just want this whole thing. We want this to shake out for a while, right? We're going to have one probably in a month, and it'll be in here, and you're going to have opportunities to share stories. We're going to do that. We're just going to worship with the band, and we're going to pass the mic, and we're just going to like go. What has God done? How has he used you to help somebody else? And all of that. And we are expecting. Our faith is going to grow, as I say, through this. And maybe one of the reasons God's allowing us to go through this. Now listen to me here. This is something just want to put in your mind. The faith that's going to grow in you through this experience is faith that you may need to face other experiences that are yet in your future or yet in our future. God in His grace builds our faith to be able to trust Him through other things. Your whole life's going to change now. Your whole life's going to change. And so let's recount His miracles. Sonoma County fires a declaration. All right, so I gave you five things. Now this is what I want to do. We're going to do it together. Are you ready for this? All right, I want you all to stand up now. Come on. And I'm going to read the first declaration, and then I'm going to point to you, and I want you to shout it out, all right? Because we're just going to, this is our declaration today. And if you want to raise your hand, you can. You don't have to, but if you want to, you can. Here's the first declaration. We will take it one day at a time. All right, let me hear you. We will not fear. Let me hear you.
We will not fear.
We will see this through together.
We will see this through together.
We will remember that God is with us.
We will remember that God is with us.
And we will celebrate God's miracles.
We will celebrate God's miracles.
All right. Stay standing. That's good. You guys are doing really well. All right. One more. Let's read this together. We declare that when we get through this, our faith will be stronger, our community will be closer, our joy will be greater, and our love will be deeper. Amen. Have a seat. All right. I'm going to post our declaration on Facebook or something. And if you want it, I'll give it to you. I mean, you may say, wow. I mean, that's original with Spring Hills, okay? That's just original with us. So if you say it's kind of weak, I don't want it, then that's okay. Just pray that God uses it somehow. But those five things, they're really declarative for every day. I mean, fire, no fire, just life, right? Declarative. Because those of you who've lost everything, You're gonna find out that God is enough. And you know, I've lost everything. I already talked to some of you. It's a reminder that we're not taking anything with us, everybody. We're not taking anything. I don't want to minimize the hurt. I know the hurt's there. But it's a reminder of the temporary nature of this life on earth. That we're here. We are here to glorify God, to serve Him, to introduce other people to Jesus Christ, to spread the good news of the gospel. That's why we're here temporarily. There's a new earth coming, a new heaven. This earth is going to pass away. Everything you have, everything that I have, okay, it's going to pass away. And so Jesus said, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Everything you need will be added to you. Don't store it up on earth. Listen to me now. Don't store it up on earth. Be rich towards God for a sure foundation for the future. Store your treasures there, Jesus said. Store your treasures there. Nobody can take it from you there. It's not going to go away there. This is a time for all of us in our hearts to go, okay, I get it, you know? I get it. I feel a fresh call of God on my life. I feel a fresh call of God for the purpose that He made me to fulfill it. To live in light of it. Is this a birth pang for His coming? You know, Jesus said that the coming of the Lord is like birth pangs when somebody's going to give birth. Some of the signs will increase with greater intensity. The whole creation is groaning, Scripture says, groaning for its redemption. We ourselves are groaning within ourselves for our redemption, and it's coming nigh. Are these birth pangs to the coming of the Lord? Is this Is this part of the reminder that he's coming soon? We've had the worst hurricane in history with Harvey and Irma. We had the worst mass shooting in American history in Las Vegas two weeks ago. Now we've had the worst fire in California history. These birth pangs for the coming of the Lord. Is this a wake-up call? Is this a wake-up call for all of Sonoma County? Come to Jesus, man. Get your soul right. Get your soul right with God. How do you get your soul right? God's made provision for that. Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world. We all fall short. There isn't anybody in here. This was not, by the way, the judgment of God on somebody. This is, and again, I don't want to go in the why direction too much. I just want to tell you, I know it's it stirs you to think and ask and seek God. That's what I'm hoping. Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world. His death on the cross is sufficient. Listen to me, sufficient to pay for the sins of the world before God. But it's only efficient if you accept it. Sufficient for all, but effectual. Listen, effectual for those who receive it. It does you no good to have Jesus die for the sins of the world if you don't come to Him. You don't come to Him and say, oh God, I need You. I need You. Forgive me, cleanse me. I want you to come to Jesus for salvation. I want you to come to God for comfort. And that's what we're all doing. I want you to come to Jesus individually for salvation. He's a Savior. And if God might use some of this to bring you to Himself, then praise His name. If He would use this to bring more people in Sonoma County to Himself, to settle their eternity with Him, to get their soul right, through what Christ did, then praise God. Let's pray together. Lord, we just thank You we can meet as a church here this morning. We lift up. We're in this together. We're going to get through this together. You're with us. You're going to do miracles. We pray particularly for those who have lost everything. Is that You? God, I pray that You will show Yourself to them in Your presence in a way that they've never seen before. You'll see Your provision, places to live, financial stuff and insurance stuff, all that. And God, thank You for those opening their homes. And thank You for what You're doing in our community here. Thank You for all the kids that are going to be on our campus next week for childcare, why single moms have to go off to work, single dads. Bless our campus. Those people that are bringing their kids, we pray they'll come to church and find Jesus, find You. If you're here this morning and you prayed to receive Christ as your Savior, then I want to ask you right now, just say to God in your own heart, Lord, save me. Lord Jesus, save me. I want to know. I want my soul right with You because You're coming. You are coming back again. I want to be ready so that the day doesn't take me as a thief in the night. I want to be ready with my soul and come to Christ. And listen, believer, if you're here, you know Jesus, I almost want to exhort you right now, you will not give in to fear. There's nothing to fear. And you'll take Jesus' words. You're not going to worry. You're not going to worry of anxious thoughts about tomorrow. You refuse that because God loves you. You're His son, His daughter. He's going to take care of you. And Lord, we all praise You. We just thank You. We can encourage one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, before we sing a closing song together, I want to invite our offering team to come on down front. And if you prayed with me that little prayer, just said, Lord, I want You as my Savior. If you prayed that, then there's a connection card somewhere. I think in your seat backs. I don't know if we have them, gave them out or not. But a connection card just says, I prayed with Brett or I became a Christian today. And so we want to follow up and just give you some helpful info. If you're new, you're here today and you want some information about the church, that connection card is for that. When the offering bucket goes by, drop it in there. And particularly if you're here today as a guest, we don't want you to feel any pressure with this offering. We just want, this is just an opportunity for those part of the family here to give back to God, but we don't want you to feel any pressure at all. And as you give, I want you to rejoice. You know, it says in Scripture, God loves a cheerful giver. I want you to give cheerfully. I want you to thank God as you give that He saved our church here so we can be together and encourage each other, and so we can encourage the community. And think of your giving that way as building a church, resourcing a church to make a difference within the community. And I know some of you give online and the app and all that. And so when the offering goes by, just say, thank you, God. Use this for your glory. Lord, thank you that we have the privilege to give. We are cheerful givers. You own it all. We're not taking anything with us. We know that. And so we just offer our whole lives to you. And we offer our resources that are really yours, but we're stewards of them. Use them for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. All right. As you give, stand up. Let's worship together.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name. Death could not hold you. The veil torn.